Hello, and welcome to System Mastery, dudes! Today's Totally Righteous episode is on Tower 22, a D20 OGL-style game all about playing as the cool bras and babes of that most tubular of career choices, the Noble Lifeguard. Radical! Will it be completely gnarly? Or disappointingly gnarly? Like the bad version of gnarly? Code S on the Surf's Up vibe because it's System Mastery, dudes!
Hey, John, before we get started today, we have one of them announcement masteries.
Ooh. Announcement mastery.
We've got a lot of them recently, just like about every episode.
Yeah, people want to get messages out there, and this is no different.
Yeah, and I think we'll go ahead and do the thing I keep forgetting to do, but I need to do more often, which is if someone purchases an announcement mastery, we do put it at the top of the episode, and then I just will skip that ad, that kind of megaphone ad read or whatever.
Yeah, the front of
exactly. So for the people who are not on our Patreon, they can still get a nice ad-free experience in exchange for listening to a more heartfelt message from someone who had some money for me.
Indeed.
Directly for me.
And only you.
And sometimes John.
Usually
if
not.
If he's paying attention. So you want to take it? How do you want to do this one?
Sure. So this was a announcement mastery, just an anonymous, helpful message to get out there,
mm-hmm.
that Owen Casey Stevens is currently undergoing radiotherapy for cancer that went undetected for a decade. And if you're in the U.S. or know anyone that is in the U.S., you know that is expensive.
Very expensive. My dad's going through it right now, and it is a nightmare.
Yeah. So this is to help him. If you've played an RPG in the last little while, as in 20 years or so, odds are good you've seen, read, or enjoyed something Owen has worked on. He worked on official products for 4 editions of Dungeons & Dragons.
The 4 good ones.
2 editions of Pathfinder.
Yeah.
Yeah, only the 4 good ones.
Uh-huh.
The ones that came out within 20 years.
We're not gonna say which ones are the 4 good ones, but definitely the 4 good ones.
The 4 good ones. The ones that you like?
Uh-huh.
Those are the ones.
Those are the ones.
And also worked on the tabletop RPGs, The Black Company, Call of Cthulhu, D20 Modern, Dragon Age, Fantasy Age, Gamma World, Everyday Heroes, The Song of Ice and Fire, Thieves World, and Wheel of Time. He's also co-creator of the Starfinder and Star Wars Saga Edition RPGs, and founder of Rogue Genius Games.
Wow, that's a lot of good RPG design work.
A ton of stuff in the industry.
Yes.
Owen is a good friend to many creators and publishers across the industry, so we want to help him, but there is a limit to what we can do medically. You know, nobody is the right class or level to be able to get rid of cancer.
That is true. Well, I mean, there are people who are the correct class, but none of the nerds who are donating to fundraising efforts.
No.
So, yeah.
Surgery is inadvisable. Chemotherapy didn't do the work, so now it's down to radioactive lasers shooting him in places no one wishes to be shot.
Yeah, like behind a book star.
So this bundle aims to help relieve his financial burden. Not only have publishers contributed to the bundle, Drive-Thru RPG is only taking a 10% cut. 90% of all the proceeds, which is $27 per bundle, goes to Owen.
Wow, so about $30 is the bundle price, it sounds like.
Yep, so if you go to Drive-Thru RPG, that is Drive-Thru, T-H-R-U, mm-hmm. RPG.com, search for Owen K.C. Stevens, Stevens with a P-H, is rad on Drive-Thru RPG. We'll put a link on, you know, the description for the episode and whatnot like we normally do.
We sure will.
But if you go search for Owen K.C. Stevens is rad on Drive-Thru RPG, you'll find the bundle. It can get you some good stuff as well as helping out someone who is in need.
Someone who is in real need and has been a part of the good part of this industry for quite a long time.
Yeah.
So that's great. So thank you so much to our anonymous contributor for bringing that to our attention. And definitely head on over to Drive-Thru RPG and purchase this. It's like $30. You get a huge amount of stuff. And then a ton of the proceeds go right to a person who really needs it.
Yep.
Yep. And you've been using Drive-Thru RPG at our recommendation for years anyway, because if you use our link, then we get a chunk of the money. So don't do that, because I don't want a chunk of this money. I want this money to go to Owen K.C. Stevens.
Yep.
And there you go. So that's that's the announcement mastery.
Yes, indeed.
And get well soon, Owen. And I think we'll go ahead and get started over on the main episode.
Indeed.
We'll see you there. Hey, everybody. Welcome to System Mastery.
Woo!
Hey, how you doing, John?
Oh, you know.
Yeah? I do know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we've been hanging out all day. We're working on a something like a book project.
Something like a book project.
We get paid and there's a royalty structure involved, so I guess it's technically like a book project.
It is indeed exactly like a book project in many ways.
Except that we don't write really anything. We just do other stuff.
A lot less writing and a lot more other stuff.
Just other stuff. I think we're supposed to write an intro.
Yeah.
Which,
man.
but beyond that, it's a weird one. So we've been working on that. And, you know, here's a quick housekeeping detail. You're probably wondering where the back half of the entry for Aria Canticle of the Monomyth is.
It's in the dumpster.
Fuck it.
Fuck that book.
I'm not going to keep reading it. It sucked. So that's what's going on there. That's a heartfelt, genuine, from System Mastery official message to that grad student pile that is Aria. I'm not going to keep reading you. You were bad, and you should feel bad.
Sigh.
Yeah, so that's what's going on. That's why we needed a palate cleanser, which is why I reached into my official grab bag of OGLs.
I have a big bag of shovelware.
Yeah, I got a pile of OGL shit from between 1999 and like 2007.
Yeah.
Where it's just anything that was officially OGL.
Just anything goes in the wild and wonderful world of OGL shovelware.
Yeah, so I have all these, like, a lot of them are you know, just generic fantasy equivalents or horror things that are redesigned to work in D20. But then you get a bunch of superhero ones, and this what this is, which is my personal favorite when it comes to the shovelware pileup, which is...
Someone had a specific interest?
Someone knew a lot about a little.
Yep, they're like, well, I did too much research on one thing, and I have nowhere else to put it but the OGL.
I love these so much. Every time we had, like, that counterterrorism one that we did, or
the cop one.
The cop one, where they're just, hey, I knew a lot about cops, and now you do too.
And
is
now,
there a game?
It is.
I don't care if there's a game.
I have a dissertation on the thing I care about, and also, you can roll a D20 if you want to, I guess.
And we've been doing these for, like, forever. Testament was probably one of these, you know, it was just like, oh, I know a lot about Mennonites or Hittites or whatever.
Mennonites.
That's a modern one, right? That's not probably not the one it should have said.
Maybe Maccabees or something.
I'm pretty sure that's a family chain restaurant.
Oh, yeah. I love the burgers at Maccabees.
Come on down to Maccabees and get a big slice of onion bread.
Oh, the lights are always on at Maccabees.
I have to assume that that's a religious reference.
Yeah, there are people out there who love it. People are loving this Maccabees material we've got. Mostly Jews, though.
Okay. They're mostly loving Jews.
Mostly loving Jews.
Okay, good to hear. So yeah, this is Tower 22. It's a lifeguard OGL game.
Yeah, which is a wild concept in and of itself, because you hear that and you're like, okay, so obviously when you see a lifeguard-centric RPG, if you are like me, immediately go, this is a Baywatch game.
It's gonna
and
be
they couldn't get the Baywatch license.
Especially because it comes out in exactly the right time for it to be a Baywatch thing.
Yeah.
I mean, this is from 2002.
Yeah, you have the idea when you see that you're like, oh, this is obviously a Baywatch thing, which means 90% of this book is going to be about, like, busting up drug rings and shit like that.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, this is going to be like a Baywatch Nights meets Baywatch type game.
Oh, absolutely. Like I'm not really like an official scholar of the Baywatch and the Baywatch subsidiaries.
Look, I've never watched a single full episode of Baywatch or Baywatch Nights, and I never will.
I may not be a Baywatch expert, but if you'll consult this chart.
I've got this Baywatch chart right here.
We know that Baywatch, the core show, ran until 1999, and then they completely revamped the cast, moved it to Hawaii, and made Baywatch Hawaii until 2001.
Yeah.
Baywatch Nights appeared and died during the tenure of original Baywatch.
Yeah.
So this is
just sort of a weird experiment.
Yeah, this comes out about a year after Baywatch Hawaii ended. So we were done with Baywatch. But that's perfect. That's exactly the right amount of time it takes for some obsessive fan to start writing a book and get
it out.
Yeah,
they're like, oh, they stopped putting out things for the thing I like.
Just a little too late, you know? So you'd think, yeah, this is going to be a Baywatch thing.
And yet you get into it and you're like, oh, no.
No, this is very real.
This is definitely someone who was like, I cannot figure out if this is like the cop thing we read where it's just someone did too much research, they went too far down the rabbit hole, or if this is someone who was like, I was a lifeguard and I want people to know about lifeguard shit. Cause like, you are the person who will know about this. Sure. You were a lifeguard.
I was a lifeguard in both pools and beaches. And not only that, but pretty much right around this time as well. I had my first lifeguard job in 1997, and I stayed being one until about 2001, 2002.
Yeah, so, you know, any of the weirder things in this, I was like, I don't know, Jeff probably knows if that's true or not.
Yes, yeah, I'll be able to, especially because I was both a pool and beach guard, so I can answer both. I mean, although this is 100% a beach guard game.
Yes.
They don't even mention pools, which I was surprised to not see, even see, like, outside of a couple mentions because the game does a whole... your upbringing as a species thing, yeah. for its OGL kind of design. They mention a couple people might have come up as beach guard or pool guards, like in high school or something.
Yeah, but it definitely, that's what I was getting the feeling of. This was someone who was a lifeguard, because the disdain that it seems to marginally have for pool lifeguards is like, oh, okay, this is someone who has opinions about lifeguards.
That's very real, by the way. Yeah. Beach guards hate pool guards, hate them to hell. They barely count. The only people who are in lower esteem than pool guards, like, you know, everyone's got to have one group of people they kick around.
Yeah.
It's the people who, like, are lifeguards in that they sit in a chair at the top of the water slide at Raging Rapids or whatever.
Oh, okay.
That's like the lowest of the low, because you never even get in the water during your day. You're not
a lifeguard as much as you are a line control person.
Yeah, your job is to make sure that someone is at least 40 inches tall and will fit into the tube.
Yeah.
That's your lifeguarding. That's the lowest rung. And then they hate, I don't know, like Polish people or something. That's
probably,
you get a kick. There's always a next level to kick. But yeah, this is very much a beach guard game, which again adds to that vibe that you're like, oh, this is about, you know, this is a Baywatch.
Yeah,
it's a Baywatch, but
it's a Baywatch,
but it's not.
No, and I can't tell if I would have liked this better if it had gone with the more like fantastic vibe of that.
Oh yeah, I mean, you spend your whole time reading it like, I wish this was Baywatch Nights. Like, I would love for it to be you play as a lifeguard, but every adventure is like, I don't know, someone messed with frog DNA and now a monster is rampaging through the abandoned ship.
It's, I mean, part of me wishes it was that, because I feel like it would be a playable game at that point. But another part of me is like, I am glad that this person was like, no, real world shit, because then we get this.
Yeah. I mean, this is a playable game. It feels very much like two different games is the big thing. Like, so you're playing as lifeguards, and that's accurate, and it's fine. And it's got some really weirdly deep and yet still very OGL boring versions of like random charts, just to recreate the concept of like spending a day working a beach.
Yeah.
So you have all these things where you can like roll on prevailing wind conditions and incidences of animal appearances and stuff. But at the same token, they didn't really change the OGL that much here. They didn't reinvent the wheel.
No.
So there's combat mechanics and there's stats for like beach toughs.
I mean, it's definitely a weird thing.
Yeah.
That when you're looking at something like this, you're like, why? I mean, I know why you did OGL. I get it.
Oh, of course, yeah.
But also, this shouldn't be an OGL game.
I feel like it's perfect for the OGL. Like, I don't think anyone's actually clamoring to play like a really well-written lifeguard game, because ultimately the thing is that the more well-written and realistic it is, the less interesting. One thing I can confirm for having been a beach lifeguard is that 99% of the time, that is the most boring job you've ever had.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if you're new. Like, if it's your first year of beach guarding, they put you at the one tower where they're swimming and they're surfing and the two aren't supposed to go together. So you spend your whole day, every 10 minutes, running out to the water with a megaphone and doing the old code S, which is where you go like, swimmers, please head north. Surfers, please head south of the S-marked buoy or flag on the beach line. Because they don't want surfers bonking into swimmers.
Yeah, obviously.
But that's mostly it. Like, if you're pulling you very rarely pull anyone out of the water. When you do, 90% of the time, they're fine. They're just floundering around because they're dumb.
Yeah.
I had one Codex in my entire time as a beach guard, which is someone seems to have gone missing. Let's shut the beach down. Let's canvas the water, do all that stuff. And that's kind of the only thing that I would have called interesting.
Yeah.
And even then, it wouldn't have been that interesting in this game's engine, where you're like, roll to see, use spot checks to see if you notice an anomaly that might be the missing
person.
I mean,
that was an entire fucking class is just that.
Yeah, spotter. Yeah, you're right. So there's a whole class that's just for that. And like I said, I was a beach guard for like 2 years, and that happened once.
Yeah, it's things like that that make me feel like this has to be someone who either had too much info or was and wants to make it seem way cooler than it
is. Yeah, I mean, it could still have some Baywatch in it. Like, it doesn't do Baywatch in that it doesn't really have the wacky stories that made up your given episodes of Baywatch.
No, like you mentioned, there are like charts and things in here, but none of them are like, you know, random gangs that are doing drug deals or
there's crime and stuff. Like, there's, like I said, there are stats for beach toughs and combat mechanics up to and including weapon statistics for generic lifeguard equipment.
Oh yeah,
you ever wanted to bonk someone with one of those orange floaty things, which are officially called cans? I'm just trying to be accessible for the populace. Then yeah, sure, I'll tell you right here, they do d6 plus strength mod damage with a 19 or 20 crit for D2. I guess they're basically clubs.
It's weird to me that you would have that level of stuff in here, and I guess you have to, like, you have to have this has, I mean, I guess I'll call it a bestiary.
Oh, it's got a full-on fucking bestiary. It really, it's wild, and it's evenly split too. It's like half, like,
Well, yeah, you get like, oh, what's this? Drunken belligerent.
Yeah, and drunken, like, belligerents. Yeah, cool. You got car thieves and bike thieves and like roving ATV guys, and then also like 10 sharks, like 10 different kinds of shark.
Too many kinds of shark. I understand that you made a lifeguard game, and that's the only dangerous thing you could think of to put in the water.
Yeah,
but like, you have too many sharks,
well,
my man.
It's also very funny that they have combat stats for things that are, you know, water hazards that I would not necessarily think that you could beat up. So,
no,
yeah.
I do appreciate that there are, like, oh, there's checks for, like, oh, there's, a riptide.
Yeah,
and now you have to figure out, like, this is how much a penalty is to your skill to swim to get a person and how much you have to roll to get them back. And, like, that's nice. Yeah. I actually appreciate that as part of this because I'm like, that's a part that you think would be useful for a lifeguard thing.
Yeah, but when you're flipping through the bestiary and you're like, well, okay, yeah, I guess you do need to know about nurse sharks and hammerheads and bonnethead sharks and frill sharks, which, you know, are mostly found in deep water. I'm not sure what they're doing here. Great whites, obviously. But then also things like Portuguese man-o-war, where you're like, yeah, technically they can deliver. I've gotten hit by one. They suck. But I didn't have an urge to take my lifeguard can and beat it up as a response. I don't need to know how many hit points it had.
Oh, you gotta know.
And there's more. It's like they got Portuguese man of war. They got moon jelly because those are harmless. And it's got blue ring octopus.
Yeah.
So just a bunch of like tiny poisonous or venomous animals. that cone shell. Because, well, I might as well get this out of the way. There are three settings in here.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's got a whole, like, build-your-own-beach mechanic, which gets very detailed, and we'll get into it.
Oh, yeah, because most of the charts in here are less, like, I mean, they're kind of random encounters, but it's more random creation of the beach you are in.
Yeah, so it's got, you can either randomly roll up a beach, or you can try to use the tools from the list to build the beach that you would like to. So, for example, if we wanted to set it in one of the, like, we could put it our local nude beach, Black's.
Yeah.
Black's Beach has regular dolphin appearances, pretty good medium-sized waves, prevailing winds are blocked by nearby cliffs, you got semi-grit sand, so it'd be easy to come up with the full list of things and recreate that beach. The big one being access. Blacks is hard to get to, and it's got a mechanic for determining access, so you can do things like how hard is it for emergency services beyond lifeguards to show up.
Yeah, but that also affects how many people are there, so that affects your chances of having to rescue someone.
Is there a permanent lifeguard presence? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
But you can also randomly roll one up. But there are three that they've done all the work for, and those are Malibu, Corpus Christi, which, you know, it's like a bay town because they wanted to break it up by different types of water conditions.
Yeah.
And then, what's that? It's in Australia. Crescent Head.
Yeah, Crescent Head, Australia, which I guess needed to be in there so that you could justify having the crazier shit where you're like, Well, yeah, obviously we need to have stats for a fucking Portuguese man of war because I'm in Australia and I'm going to have to punch one.
I mean, like I said, I've been hit by a Portuguese man of war right here in San Diego. They're pretty ubiquitous. What you get there is the
they're just not in Portugal, which is weird.
Well, I mean, Portugal's a land country after all. I mean, they're not usually wandering around. They are off the coast of Portugal, sure.
But no, they're on Portugal.
They're in Portugal. They're riding around in little carts.
They are inside of Portugal, ready to come up like sandworms.
There's a whole career. There's guys whose job, they wander around Portugal with a man of war in a basket. And they're like, I won't sting you for 20 of whatever our Portuguese dollar is called.
20 of whatever our Portuguese dollar is called.
I assume it's the euro.
God bless.
Okay, let's get into character creation because that's what people are going to be most interested in hearing about anyway. As I mentioned, it's OGL, so you already know you have the six stats, you know, strength, con, dex, int, wiz, charisma. You're used to all that.
Yeah.
Hit points, AC, the saving throw or three defense system is all present here from OGL. They did not reinvent the wheel.
No. And they also didn't give you like actual instructions for getting your stats. They were just like, you'll create a character like you do in the main book.
Yeah, because it's got that one page in the very back of the book that's the super basic.
You have to own this book in order to play this game. Exactly. Please go get the player's handbook.
Yeah, so they don't really talk much. There's a section on the stats, but all it is like how they apply to lifeguarding.
Yeah.
So it'll be like, oh, wisdom is understanding the or knowing how to spot based on eddies and currents whether or not there's an underwater hazard.
Yeah.
Charisma is useful for breaking up fights and using the loudspeaker effectively.
It's
that kind of thing.
Because, like, I do want to say, so of the classes, they're sort of divided-ish into the stats.
Yes, they are.
I mean, outside of the one, which is basically what I will call Lifeguard Paladin, but it's funny to me because they're using the game, like, skills from OGL, but they're using, like, the terms of Lifeguard, which means the Spotter is an int-based class, and Spot the skill is a wisdom-based skill.
Yes.
Because Search is what the Spotter is using, and that's an int-based skill.
Yeah, they don't use Spot, they use Search, yes.
Yeah, but Searcher would be weird. That's not a term.
Yes. So we'll start with species. Again, the species here is based around upbringing. And in this case, it largely tends to boil down to like what sport you used to do before you got into
essentially
lifeguarding.
Like, why did you come into lifeguarding or
yes.
What led you to this?
And when you're reading through them, they don't mention it offhand, but it becomes pretty obvious that for the first like five of them, they're just the species from D&D. They've just taken the stats and kind of reworked them so that they're something else.
Yeah.
So if you have like average sportsman or whatever they call it, like average guy.
Yeah.
That's human. You get a bonus feat, and this game has a bunch of fucking feats that are specific to lifeguards.
Yeah.
It was going to need them, obviously.
Of course. You got to fill page count.
Yeah. So you get a bunch of bonus feats, you get a bonus feat, and you get the extra skill point.
Yeah.
So that's the average guy. You get nothing else, it's just those things. You're just extra qualified in basic lifeguarding. But then you go to swim team, like you came up from, I'm sorry, we'll go to water polo player. You come up from having been a water polo player, it takes you a couple seconds of reading. You're like, wait a minute, this is dwarf. This is just, it's plus two dex, minus two con. I'm sorry, I got that backwards. It's plus two con, minus two charisma. You get a bonus to swim checks that lines up perfectly with the dwarven bonus to resisting being pushed, pulled, or slid. You get the bonus to save against internal toxins and booze effects by saying that water polo players have especially hardy constitutions from nights of partying.
I assume, again, you're a water polo player, so, or were.
I mean, I would not, I would have given it to some kind of pain resistance instead. Like, if I was doing water, like, if I was, first of all, it wouldn't be a dwarf thing. I'd maybe rebuilding from somewhere else. But I'd be like, yeah, you get, like, extra bonuses to resist pain, probably fort checks.
I guess.
Is where I'd put that. Because of all the dick hair grabbing and underwater kicking and so on, that it makes up competitive water polo, which is a terrible sport that should be banned.
Oh, yeah.
And I love
it's
dearly.
It's a bad sport for bad people.
Yeah. And you also get proficiency in the martial weapon of water polo ball.
Great.
Like, I most people haven't really held a water polo ball. It looks like a volleyball, and it kind of is. It's just that it's made of rubber, and it's really hard.
Yeah, so but I mean, they had to put ranged weapons in here somewhere, and, you know, outside of one place, it's not like you've got any other ranged options.
Yeah, you can throw those foam rings at people and catch them in them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, if you want to be someone that's like, oh, I need to hit something for damage from range, your options are limited.
Yeah, so they and these are the only guys like this species, unless you wanted to just pick up this skill and water polo ball for yourself. Yeah. These are the only guys who were going to get it anyway. To me, it just made me think that this is got a little Final Fantasy X in it, you know, because you got like, oh, what's your proficiency? Oh, I huck a ball really hard at people. I'm like, so you're Waka?
So you're going to walk around?
Are you on the Besaid Oryx?
Maybe.
I know that's a blitz ball and not a water polo ball, but the principle is essentially the same, except that water polo is fun. And
and blitz ball's way fun.
Blitz ball sucks.
Fuck you. Blitz ball's great.
All right, fair. But then there's also swim team, diver, bodybuilder, and all of those pretty much map to something. Swim team is elf, diver is gnome, I think, and bodybuilder is half orc.
Yeah.
Where you straight up still get the minus int in charisma. It's like, because even in this game, they're overvaluing strength.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's just that they didn't
care.
Well,
I mean, it's just, half orc. The OGL made it so that +2 strength was -2 to these, so I guess you get that.
There are a couple of neat things here because they had to remove all the, like, racial weapon proficiencies and stuff that kind of used to be part of these. Like, you know, if you're a half-orc, the big benefit you got was that you counted as an orc for magical item purposes and so on. I don't think it ever comes up. It's just a thing. But here instead, that one and diver both get a weird benefit, which is you work out your regular kind of lifting and breath-holding capacities and so on. And then if you're playing one of those classes, you get a 50% bonus to whatever it is.
Yeah.
So they say that breath holding in this game is your con's bonus. So whatever, you know, if you have like a 17 con, you have a +3 bonus from it. Then you can hold your breath for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And if you're a diver as a species, then you add another 50% of that. So you can hold your breath for 4.5 minutes. And for
which is a long fucking time.
Yeah, it is. It's crazy. But for a bodybuilder, it's lifting, which you calculate your lifting based off your strength score, and then if you're a bodybuilder, you add another 50% on top of that.
I do, before we get into the classes, I love pointing out that one of the backgrounds you could have is diver. One of the classes you can have is diver.
I mean, they're two different things, though. One of them is scuba-focused, and the other one's like, no, I'm like Mark Spitz.
Yes.
I jump off high dives. They should have probably named them two different things. I mean, that would have made a lot more sense. It should have been called Diver, you know, like Olympian, Mark Spitz. Or Jason Statham, the actor. He was a professional and Olympic diver as well.
I mean, here's the thing. The class names are amazing to me because, one, you have Diver, which is the dexterity-based class.
Yes.
And you're like, okay, you've just, like, gone and doubled up your backgrounds and class name so you could be a diver.
Yes, and he does get a dex bonus, so they do line up.
I mean, you do want to be a diver if you're going to be a diver.
Yes.
And you want to be a holy diver.
Yeah, well, we already mentioned that this game does have a paladin class, and it's the holy diver.
God, I wish.
Be careful not to get lost too far in the midnight sea.
Oh, man, they've got animal handling so you can jump on the tiger.
But, well, you got to use a spot check to see his stripes.
You know he's clean. But they also have one of the classes is just swimmer, which, again, there was swim team, so you can be a swim team swimmer if you want to.
Yeah.
And the swimmer, I look at, I'm like, okay, I get it. I get that, like, you want someone that's like, oh, you're good at swimming, like, fast and getting to places and getting to people and getting them back quickly. I understand that, but having a class in a game of people that are lifeguards be like, and I'm the one that swims, you'd be like, I think everyone should. I'm pretty sure. And the fact that not everyone gets swim as a class skill is fucking hilarious.
I feel like you really do need to fix that. I feel like if I was house ruling this, I'd be like, yeah, everyone can at least swim. You do have to pass a lot of tests to be a lifeguard.
Yeah.
It's not like cops either, where you have to pass a bunch of physicals and then they never bother you again. So you can go ahead and turn into one of them fat cops.
You're like, lifeguards, well, I did it.
You got to do yearly checks.
Yeah. But being like, oh yeah, the spotter doesn't get swim as one of their things. I'm like, but I'm the one who's going to find the guy. Yeah. I should be the one to go get them.
I mean, technically,
but the fact that you are in a squad, I assume means the writer was like, oh, the spotter's going to find the person who needs help and then send the swimmer to go get them.
Yeah, I assume they expect you're going to pick it up as a cross-class skill. I mean, technically, the game has one of those things where it's like, yeah, everyone can drive and swim like normally. This is for like competitive or especially difficult.
You roll swim when you're like, oh, there is a reason that I need to do this. If you're like, I'm in calm, normal waters, I can just swim. Yeah. It's fine.
And technically, yeah, swimming would not be the skill you'd be rolling if you were performing a lifeguard act. Like, you know, if you're swimming up from behind a drowning guy so you can catch him with a can and drag him in, that's actually an attack in this game. You're rolling to subdue them and then bring them in. It is not a swim check. The only time it'd be a swim check is if you fucked up and they're trying to pull you under.
Well, yeah, I mean, you do have swim checks for that if you're like, oh, there's, you know, rough water, you've got to make a swim check to get back.
Riptides can cause swim checks.
Yeah, you've
underwater
got a
hazards.
Whole bunch of, like, lists of things that can fuck your shit up. So. Yeah.
There are two more species, sort of, upbringings. One of them is just nature lover.
Yeah, you're just like, oh, I just enjoy being in water.
It's about knowing a lot about animals. Like, because, again, the game has a ton of animals. And they progress, like, to the point where you're like, well, you can probably take a party of four level eight or so lifeguards if you want to defeat an orca in combat.
Which,
just get in there and hit it with sticks.
Hey, get that squat out in the water and beat up that fucking killer whale. What are you talking about?
I'm freeing Willy from this mortal coil.
I just love the idea of trying to recreate the movie Jaws, but instead of being like, we're going to have to be smart and get on a boat and get all the... There's just four dudes in fucking Speedos like, let's go!
Strapping on brass knuckles and jumping in the water.
Just being like, I'm going to beat the shit out of this shark.
I mean, it's not part of the three settings that they put up there. Like, oh, there are more shark attacks in this one location than the other ones and so on. But there's never really a part where it's like, look, you're going to have to get in the water and throw hands sometimes against sharks. That's what lifeguards do. But it has the stats. It has their full set of combat stats, and it gives you combat stats. So I feel like it's at least implied.
Yeah, there is, even if they're like, oh, the chances of a shark attack are incredibly low. This is not a thing that would normally happen. It's included here for, you know, the sake of being able to cover all of the bases and whatnot. But the fact that it can just makes me go, yeah, but you're playing D&D. Obviously, you're going to fight a fucking shark.
You
like, that's
that
going to happen.
You're going to get in there and punch that hammerhead.
You got to get in there.
The last one is that you came up through, like, Red Cross training, so you're a medic first, so it's CPR instructor.
Yeah.
And that one just gets the bonus feat of CPR expertise.
Which is unfortunate, because you're like, oh, cool, CPR instructor. That's obviously the thing I should take if I want to do the medic class.
Yes.
Because most of these kind of are like, oh, I figure, you know, if I'm going to be a swimmer, I should be on swim team. If I'm going to be a diver, I should be a diver. And you're like, oh, if I'm going to be the medic, I should be a CPR instructor. Except you also get CPR expertise for free as a medic.
That's
so
fine.
You just have a wasted fucking feat.
You know, normally, I don't know if it's a house rule in this game. I didn't spot it in there or not. But normally, if you get double feats in an OGL game from something, like two things give you the same source, one of them just becomes a bonus feat that you can spend on some other thing.
Yeah, but
so
I mean, it doesn't say that in here.
Yeah, but I don't think it says it, but I feel like I would throw that out there. If I was like, obviously, if you're going to play the CPR instructor / medic, then you're doubling up on CPR expertise. Just take it for another first aid feat.
Yeah.
There's plenty of them here. You've got bone setting and
I mean, it is like most games that are OGL, but then focused on more real life shit.
Yes.
Almost all of the feats are like, you get a +2 to these two skills.
Yes.
And then the worst ones, which are, you get a +2 to these three skills in specific circumstances.
Oh, yeah. They're always, those are only if you're in the water, et cetera.
Well, like the ones where it's like, oh, you're a current swimmer. And you're like, oh, I can go against like riptides and I get a +2 to swim and my subdue effects for people in riptides. And you're like, okay. And if they're not, oh, then it does nothing.
Yeah, that's so dumb. Riptides are narrow channels. All you do is swim sideways a little.
Nah, you got to have a feat for it.
God, people. Yeah. The okay, so the classes. There are, like we were saying, there are six of them. Most of them map pretty clearly to statistics. You've got diver for dexterity, but that's like a scuba specialist.
Mm-hmm.
That's someone who finds people who might have been dropped, like who may be underwater or require assistance for free diving. It ends up being the kind of person who tends to work off of boats. Spotter, which again is just person working the towers.
Yeah,
like they're trying to spot people in the water who may be in distress. They're the ones who are going to be sending out radio calls. Swimmer, which feels kind of like just lifeguard.
Yeah, it is the lifeguard class for being in a lifeguard game where you're like, what are you? I'm good at going out into the water. And you're like, yeah, you're a lifeguard. I get it.
Yeah, but I can run in slow-mo as I'm on my way down there.
Oh, so it takes longer for you to get there.
No, the whole world goes to slow-mo. It's fine.
That's fine.
I mean, it takes me longer to get down there, but it also takes longer for them to drown. So think about that.
So put that in your pipe.
Mm-hmm. Medic, which is like first aid specialist, you know, helping with the stingray bites and knowing the difference between between
the stingray bites.
Stingray. I mean, I've been bitten by a ray. It's not painful. They have like little stone. It's just toothbrushes for teeth. It's not that big of a deal. But you know, stingray stings and jellyfish stings, and knowing which one you apply hot water to and which one you pee on.
Neither of them. Don't pee on any of them. I'm gross.
Yeah, I am. Generally speaking, it's almost impossible to come across. I've been as close as anyone could be. I was stung by a stingray while at the local nude beach, which is the only reason I bring it up is because it's like 3 miles from where the car is. It's a long hike.
Yeah,
to get to this beach or a cliff. You have to go up or down a cliff.
Yeah.
So a stingray got me on the foot, and for a couple hours I couldn't walk. I was just in pain. And my friend who I was there with kept being like, "Do you want me to pee on it?" And I kept being like, "That's jellyfish. Do not,
do not pee on me.
This is an open wound. Don't pee on it." Because jellyfish don't open you up. They put pneumatocysts in you.
Oh, I'm gonna open you up.
But I was bleeding. I was like, "Please don't pee in my open wound. That'd be really bad.
That would be unfortunate."
Yeah. So. Caregiver, which is different than medic. Yeah.
Because when they say caregiver in this,
it's the charisma one.
They're doing the charisma stat, and it's the one that's like, oh, you find lost children. You're the one who deals with, like, you break up fights on the beach without actually just beating the shit out of people. You're the person who's like, oh, I'm the face of the fucking squad.
It was the closest thing they could come up with for charisma to do.
Yeah.
Like, I guess sometimes you have to be a really nice lifeguard.
Yeah.
And break up, like, arguments on the beach.
You're the one who has to go over, and you're the person who, like, goes to the people who are trying to start a, like, fire pit in a place where you can't, and explains that without getting into a fight with someone.
Yes, it's the person who diffuses situations.
Yeah.
So, basically, if you see, like, hoodlums out on the beach with glass bottles, which is just banned in San Diego, then you go out there and be like, sorry, fellas, you're gonna have to drink those up on the boardwalk.
Yeah.
And they're like, fuck you, the man!
Yeah, so you are like, oh, I'm the one who gets bonuses to making sure that when I tell people to do this, they don't immediately pop off at me.
Which is, you know, again, just sets up the combat mechanics of this game where you're like, oh no, 4 level 3 beach toughs.
Which is great because it means there's an entire class that's like, oh, don't worry, we're not going to engage with that mechanic. Thank you very much.
I mean, they engage with it as much as like bards would, you know, where they're supposed to use their various social skills to defuse fights, but they often have to throw down anyway.
And that brings us to what I have been referring to as the paladin of lifeguards, the soldier, which...
Weird choice.
A weird choice is the only one that has... All of them have that sort of, like, you have to have at least, like, a 13 in whatever stat to be this.
Yes.
Like, it's your main stat. This one is the one that needs strength and constitution and charisma,
which is
because soldiers are charismatic, obviously.
I'm going to point this out. This is a weird throwback that they did this at all, because 3rd edition had already dropped the whole, like, prerequisite minimum statistic thing, and this game was like, no, fuck it. But then again, you see that in these OGL games. You see where people are like...
Because people are like, I only played 2nd ed, and then OGL came out, and I went, sure, whatever.
I can take my 2nd edition idea I had and repurpose it to this, but I do not need to learn that new system, thank you.
No.
Which is why I'm like, you know, obviously you'd make Fortitude the thing that handles sunburn instead of what they do with it here in this game, which is where it's the only new stat in the game is SPF. So you control for sunburn control. But anyway, we'll get to that in a little bit. You can do... Talk about the soldier.
So the soldier is weird in that it is the one combat-focused one. So it's basically like, oh, we assume that you are, like... You would think, obviously, going into it, you're like, oh, well, that brings up the idea that you're a lifeguard that is...
A military lifeguard, yeah.
A military lifeguard.
That's
or
a
SEAL.
Yeah.
And the thing is, SEAL is one of the prestige classes you can get.
Weird choice.
But the soldier is like, oh, yeah, you're... Mostly there to be like, you're strong at swimming and can take a beating. You're there when, like, the caregiver either isn't in your group, so you're the one to go over and you're like, hey guys, you need to get out of here. You are also charisma based.
Yeah, you have charisma as one of your things because
but your intimidate is your skill that you get as your class skill instead of diplomacy.
Yes. So in your case, you're like, oh, I'm gonna, instead of going over there and being like, hey fellas, I hope you're enjoying your cool day on the beach.
I hate to break it to you.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, asshole, get the fuck off my beach.
Yeah. Get off my beach.
Yeah.
It's me, Big Dick Lifeguard. Oh, excuse me. I just thought of a bonus character.
Oh, hold on. If you go over to patreon.com/systemmastery, you'll find our bonus characters like Big Dick Lifeguard. But yeah, the fact that it is the one that's like, oh, you've got multiple stats that you need to worry about, and you're the only one that actually has in the class, like, combat bonuses.
Yes.
Because it obviously, it's third edition. Everyone has that sort of base attack. They are the only one with the fighter base attack progression.
Mostly everybody else, except for, I think it was the spotter. Everybody else gets the cleric one, like that kind of mid-range.
And then spotter gets the mage one, which because they're like, fuck you. You suck. You're the int class.
Yeah, your job is to see things.
Yeah. I assume it was just, you're the int-based class. What was the int-based class in this game? Wizard? Great. You get the wizard shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Thankfully, everybody does at least get the D8 hit die. We're not messing with that here.
No, because everyone's just a lifeguard.
Yes. And they got to be cool and tough to be a lifeguard. You can't have someone out there with a D4 hit points.
No.
Which, they're going to die to the first Portuguese man of war they come across.
Ah!
Ah, my ankle!
I just enjoy the idea that, like, some punk kid with a glass bottle is like, fuck you, dude, throws it at you and you die. You're just like, oh shit. That kid fucked you up, man.
That now he's a lifeguard. That's the rules of the beach.
You keep what you kill. That's his tower now.
That's right. We're necro guards.
Necromunga.
Life go mungas. Hey, one of the beaches is in Australia.
Yeah. And as we all know, in Australia, you keep what you kill.
Okay, yeah. And then there's some prestige classes.
Indeed. Because what would an OGL game be without prestige classes?
Yeah. So those are, I think the first one was Rover, which is like, you drive.
Yeah, and you're one of those guys in the little, like, the ATV. Dune buggies.
Yeah, get the ATV, but you also can, you get, the way prestige classes work in OGL games is always the same. It's like, you get a scaling skill bonus that makes up like 3 of the 10 levels.
Yeah.
You get bonus feats at like 3 of the other 10 levels, and then you get like a capstone thing that takes up the last. So with these guys, they are picking their bonus feats from the vehicle driving proficiencies.
Yeah.
They automatically at level 1, they get the ATV one, but then at level 3, they can choose to either learn to drive the fireboat, like the twin screw giant fireboats, or the sea doos.
Yeah.
And then they pick up the last one at the last level.
Yeah. They get, you know, bonuses to any sort of vehicle nonsense.
Yeah, and it's scaling, so that by the time you're level 10 at it, you're really good at driving those ATVs, but you're not as good at the Sea-Doos.
And the big thing there being, like, most of the time, the equipment section in this is sort of wild, but they're the one thing that's like, you are guaranteed to be able to have access to
these. Yes, you always have access, even though you probably don't own one. Like, yeah. And it's the other thing is, it's got the fireboat is one of the options, but the fourth option is those, I think they're called sea sleds. Those, like, underwater, you know, the things that, like, pull scuba divers around.
Yeah.
So that's the other option if you want to be, like, an expert. I guess a person who goes from diver into rover.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, you also get the only other person who gets access to that, which is the SEAL.
Yeah, well, yeah, because SEALs get access to military tech.
Yeah.
So there's that. I feel like they're from a whole different game.
It's, okay, I know it's not next in the list, but Jesus Christ, the SEAL is the one person in this that gets a fucking gun?
Yeah, they get a gun. They get, like, a basic training-ass rifle.
Like, if you are the spotter, you get a fucking flare gun.
Uh-huh.
And then if you are a SEAL, you get a straight-up gun.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, like I said, I feel like they just ran out of ideas. They're like, well, we thought of 5 lifeguards.
Yeah.
And can, like, we think of a 6th kind of lifeguard?
Oh, cool, badass, like, military lifeguards. What do they have? Guns?
A gun. I was like, just look to Baywatch. It's obviously one of your inspirations. Have the 6th one be cool detective.
I would have loved if this game was like, and of course, your main classes are swimmer, diver, spotter, detective.
What? Sexy detective. Who gets increasingly X-Files during the second season. Yeah, the SEAL is wild. You get a gun, you get military training, you get more authority and so on.
Yeah.
The problem is, it feels really weird that to play as one and have, like, what are you doing hanging out with the other lifeguards in the squad?
Oh, yeah, because it feels like you should either be someone that's like, oh, this is a setting where, like, shark attacks happen all the time. You need someone who's like, I'm the combat guy. I'm ready to take out whatever. Like, if this was a game where it's like, oh, yeah, and then, like, we're playing Miami Connection and a bunch of fucking ninjas show up to the beach or whatever.
You're going
to
want that seal.
Yeah.
I feel like it's got like a police academy vibe where you've got like, you know, the guy who's, oh, I'm good at the procedural work of lifeguarding. And then you've got fucking Tackleberry and you're like, what's your deal? Well, I have a bazooka, but you're not supposed to. You're a police. Yeah, but I do. I have a military helmet and a bazooka and I'm Tackleberry.
And no one's taken that away from you? They have not.
They have tried.
They are welcome to try again.
If you would like to be added to the list of corpses who have tried to take my weapons from me.
Yeah.
And then you've got like that one, the caregiver, where you play as Lieutenant Hooks or whatever, and your power is that you can yell at people to get them to move.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it makes sense if you view it from a lens of, oddly, police academy.
Yeah.
But the other ones are first responder, which is even more medical. It's the one that like spineboard expert. They also have a vehicle function so they can drive the lifeguard, like they can get people to the hospital.
Yeah.
The instructor, which is basically like a leader class. It's like you're teaching other lifeguards.
Yeah, you both have like instructions for other lifeguards, but like now you get the ability to be like, oh, if you use your turn, you can give a bonus to someone else. So it'd be like, oh, I can either go on the radio, because the instructor was sort of like, you could go to hear from spotter or caregiver.
Yeah, it's like a charisma specialist class, but with some intelligence built into it as well.
Yeah, but because there was a lot of things where it's like, oh, you can give people bonuses through radio, and the spotter was mostly the radio guy.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, okay, this is kind of, I guess you could go in from either.
Yeah, so they have a bit of like a warlordy flair to them where they get the ability to like exhort people to go above and beyond.
Yeah.
It's kind of a neat idea. Plus, you know, in downtime, they can help with leveling and so on.
Yeah.
And then the last one is the, what was that? The sergeant?
Yeah.
Which is kind of like the career lifeguard track where you're like, well, I'm one of those guys who goes pro and gets all leathery and is in his 40s and is hanging around with all the teenagers. But I hang out in that big tower, the one that has a bathroom.
Yeah. I'm in the good one.
Yeah. The one with the locker room and everything.
Yeah. I have seniority.
Uh-huh. So that's the class that gets to wear a polo shirt. But yeah, it's the closest thing. It gets a bunch of bonuses to like bureaucracy and leadership stuff.
Yeah,
because the idea is that it's the one who fills out paperwork and deals with city officials and so on. I can't imagine it being a fun class, but again, this like a lot of other OGL where it's like not quite about a dungeon, you know? It's like they couldn't come up with enough things, and so you end up with this class. It's like, what are you good at? Oh, I can cut through democratic red tape.
Oh yeah, when someone wants to close the beach down, I'll be able to get in there. And you're like, what? What the fuck are you talking
about? Someone's planning an illegal super party on this beach. And I can stop it through use of ordinances.
Good.
Yeah.
Great. So that's, good job.
That's the sergeant. All right. So that's, I mean, the only other thing to talk about in terms of character creation, again, is the SPF system, which is just sort of...
I mean, that ties into the whole equipment thing.
It does, yeah. Because, I mean, it's not very well thought out. There's no benefit to running a low SPF.
No, so, and... It's the SPF is a fluctuating hazard that can show up on your beach, and it just sort of feels like an all or like it's a binary thing of do I have the ability to protect myself? Yeah. Yes. Do I not? Well, shit.
Well, there's a UV index, which is how sunny it is, like how direct the sunlight is and how hot it is on the beach. And then that index is compared directly against your current SPF level, and you subtract one from the other, and then that gives you a bonus or penalty you're rolling to see if you get a sunburn or move along a track towards skin cancer on a day, which feels really extreme. But there, like we were saying, one of the things about this is that there's a lot of like shocking stuff in here, like stuff that I think made sense at the time, but then when you're reading through it now, you're like, what the fuck? Are you sure you wanted to do that?
Is that actually what you want this to be a chart of?
Yeah. So that it's a chance to get sunburned. The only theoretical benefit is that since you technically can fail by a small amount and end up getting tanned, tanning can get you small temporary bonuses to charisma skill checks.
Yeah.
If you're like super sweet and you have a rad tan, then you get these bonuses. So you can play with it. You can like dare the SPF system to give you a burn.
You're like, all right, well, I do want to be slightly lower than the index, but I don't want to be so low that it's bad.
Yeah.
I want to be right in that sweet spot.
Yeah. Which is just a wild, they got to add something, I guess.
I mean, the fact that it is basically a push your luck mechanic of you start the day, what do you put on? And you're like, all right, well, I'm going to put on this. All right, well, here's the UV.
You're not going to. I mean, I feel like you should be able to check the weather report to see what the UV index is.
You'd think.
Yeah.
And yet, it's also randomized for like, oh, what are the waves like today?
Yes.
And you're like, you should be able to check sort of a wave report before going in, but no, you just sort of get there and then the wandering monster that is waves shows up.
Right, so let's talk about this, because as we mentioned earlier, there are three settings that we start with, and each one of them is used as an example to go over the basic details of the various levers. Beach creation tools and levers. So Malibu is kind of your like generic. You have medium-sized waves, you have medium. It's just like mediums down the line.
Yeah, it's the... This should present a normal, like, challenge to a group. There are a good amount of swimmers and surfers.
Yes.
It's not particularly dangerous. There aren't a lot of animals, so you don't have to worry about, you know, the random shark attacks like you would in other places.
Yeah, but what animals there are not... Yeah, there's, like, dolphins and stuff. Like, they show up and you can see them, and you do need to control them because there are laws related to marine mammals.
Yeah.
But mostly that's just more separating swimmers and dolphins and so on.
Hey, you dolphin, fuck off.
Leave the dolphins alone. But you don't get a lot of shark attacks. They're super rare there.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically just a... What is the modifier to the roll on does a thing happen? And so Malibu's much more like, oh, there's a higher instance of you would have to do like charisma based stuff with people and a way lower like animal attack thing. So it's got a penalty to, oh, does an animal thing show up?
Yeah. So in Malibu, you're spending most of your time getting people off the beach with glass bottles, breaking up parties and fights, and dealing with people who get in over their head on the riptides and in the waves.
Yeah.
But at Corpus Christi, which is a bay town and also a military town, so it actually is a place that makes more sense for the SEALs and
the soldier,
all the weird military shit that's in here for, as far as I can tell, just because this guy had a secondary minor fetish to write about.
Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me to learn that somewhere there's a Fantasy Strike Soldier OGL game where one of the six classes is, like, lifeguard. there's a parallel Earth version of this book.
Yeah.
But there's not as much water danger. Like, there's not, because
it's a bay. Right? There's not really a lot that's going to fuck you up that way.
So instead, you mostly have hypothermia warnings, an increased incidence of animal attack, because there are more sharks in that part of the world.
But also it's much more like
crime,
you know, people that are going to show up and have like a higher penalty to being able to deal with them charisma wise, shit like that.
Well, it's Texas, so they're all belligerent and drunk. So you know, you feel like, I got to get these people off the beach, and they're like, we'll fight you.
I'll fuck you up.
Listen, it's my God-given Texan right to drink pearl beer on this beach. So that's what that, and then fucking Crescent Head is just everything up to 11.
Oh, yeah. It's just, if you want to have a challenge for high-level lifeguards,
yes,
put them in a beach like this.
Yeah. The waves are insane. There's constant animal attacks. There's less people, but that's because they're all in peril all the time.
Oh, yeah. The people that are there are basically just damsels in distress.
Yeah. Or if they're not in the water, they're Australian, which means they're criminals of some kind. So it's just a constant danger parade.
Oh, God bless.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's the hard mode. Crescent Head is straight up hard mode.
It is the high level campaign. You're like, oh, did you manage to get to like level 11 and you have people with prestige classes? Fine, sure.
Yeah, then I guess you can do the Baywatch Goes to Australia special.
Yeah.
You go out there with Brody or whoever the guy was that was on that show that was the Australian. I think they had two of them, because there was like a... No, Healy was British or something.
Again, never seen an episode.
Okay, let's get into... When you're building a beach, these are the things. I have them written down, because I found it just a wild list of tools that you can use to craft your specific beach.
Yes.
And one thing I want to mention before we get into this is that the three beaches that they do give you have an overwhelming amount of detail.
Yes.
Like, it's too much. Like, it's got local street maps that are included, so you get, like, a map of the beach along with the various parking lots, and the water has overlays over it that show things like, this is where particular types of animals hang out, these are where riptides are common, this is where the Code S line is. So it's super detailed. But then it's like, oh, this parking lot is renowned for bike thieves. Or there's a bunch of, like, listed restaurants. Malibu has a Roscoe's. I don't think that's correct.
Ah.
I think they're pretty far from there. But they all have, and other than Roscoe's, excuse me, we had a hard time telling what was real or fake.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I don't know. If you give me a list of, here are things along an Australian beach, I'm going to go,
yeah, probably.
Sure.
Yeah.
I guess.
Uh-huh. You got a hot chip and pie shop every 30 feet? Okay, I'm just willing to believe that that's correct.
What is this place is called Guppo's? I'm sure that's probably true.
Guppo sounds right. Yeah.
I'm almost certain that's accurate.
Look, Australians, if you're at me, if you're listening to this and you are not currently incarcerated and thus unable to send letters across across country lines, then please let me know how Guppo's is. Is it good?
Let me know. Have you had a cheeky Guppo's?
Yeah, it just, I mean, and then Corpus Christi, I mean, they had like a bunch of like Texas, it's like they had a Piggly Wiggly, which I know is, again, we know that one's real.
Yeah, but it's weird that it's, you know, a grocery store along
on the beach. Yeah, like the door opened out to the sand. It was specific, on the map, you could see that. That was a weird choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just want to let you know, hyper detail. Okay, to get into the list of things that make up the average beach, you have, most of these are averages. So you will still roll on a daily basis to see if there's a freak event happening.
Yeah. Usually when you are making a thing, you'll be like, what is the bonus or penalty on a roll for it?
Yeah.
So you're like, yeah. You'll still roll a D20 for it, but it'll be like, all right, I'm on a place that has like known for particularly high waves or whatever. I'm like, I'm on a good surf beach.
Yes.
So when you go to the wave strength, like, well, this beach has like a +5. I could still roll a 1 and it could be a real fucking calm day.
Yeah, yeah.
But in
general, it's going to be a larger wave day. And that's because this is more or less the game's random encounter system.
Pretty much.
All this stuff adds up to, at the start of any given day, you roll on a couple of tables and see what incidents happen. And then those are the things you're going to react to over the course of the day. So you have wave strength, you have riptide class. Riptide class is like the percentage chance of riptides and the relative severity of them.
Yeah.
Because there are some beaches that have much stronger riptides than others, as well as different types of waves where you have things like, oh, this, based on the shelf shape of the beach, you can have one where the waves straight up just roll up and pound directly into the sand,
mm-hmm.
like Newport beaches like that, versus, oh, there's a long stable shelf like San Onofre or something where the waves happen a good quarter mile out from the shore.
Mm-hmm.
You've got prevailing wind direction and speed,
which... Who fucking needs this? I mean, I get it. You want to make your beach as realistic. Detailed as possible.
Yeah.
Sure. I could not give less of a fuck.
Yeah, I mean, I know what that's there for. It's so that if it's super heavy wind, then you get the extra white caps on your breaking waves.
Mm-hmm.
You get the wavelets, and then that can make it harder to spot things. Because you're like, well, I'm looking for riptides. I'm looking for in trouble swimmers. And those things can often get false positives from white caps. So I get that. I know why it's here. It's weird
and
that they
don't... It's weird that you also get false positives from red caps.
Yes.
These little...
little imps.
Little imps out there in the water just being like...
You'll never get my aquatic gold. I know what you're saying. That's leprechauns, not in the ocean. In the ocean, it's red caps.
If you want aquatic gold, red caps.
Red caps. See, it's just simple physics, folks.
Come on, keep up.
Sand quality, which, again, it's like that's just going to control like people who come to your beach or don't. Like, oh, it's a white sand, super fine beach. Ooh, it's so exotic.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, like I'm at the Jersey Shore. This beach is mostly rocks and hypodermic syringes.
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly just there to go, hey, how hard is it to run on this beach? What is the penalty to movement you're going to have?
Yeah, that one's got that breakdown where it's like if it's gravel, it's going to be harder to run on. But it also does interrelate to the UV index where certain sands can get hotter.
Yeah.
And that can be more painful to run around on over the course of a day. You have the animal attack incidence rate.
Yeah.
Which is just how often it is the animal danger happens.
Just bonus or penalty to random encounter with an animal.
Crime rate. Because again, I feel like much like Baywatch did, this guy is conflating lifeguards and law enforcement where you're like, oh, sometimes I'm going to have to stop bike thieves. Like, no, that's not your job. You know, you're supposed to look over there.
Why are you looking over there?
That's not where the ocean is.
It's an ocean of people. It's an ocean of opportunity.
You should be watching out for red caps. You'll never stop me. I'm working with the sharks now.
My aquatic gold.
Gold, they say. You have rocks and static hazards, which just controls like if there's some outcroppings or so on.
Yeah.
Pier and jetty information, because that's really important. Like if you're working a beach that has a pier, you have to be able to watch to the end of it to see if there's jumpers or surfers that are getting too close to it and can run into the pilings. Jetties are even worse because they're just made piles of crunchy rocks.
Yeah.
You do not want to get near those.
Dude, these rocks are crunchy.
They're so crunchy. Oh my God. Hella crunch on these rocks, brah. And then parking / distance from amenities.
And also...
The last one, which I'm saving for last.
I know you have saved for last.
There's a reason, because it just... It just doesn't read right. You know what I mean?
I understand what they were going for and what it is trying to be like, oh, for like random encounters and certain things and whether you get a positive or a negative to trying to do certain aspects with people.
Yeah.
But the last one is the general intelligence of the beach-going population.
Yes.
And that feels sort of both fucked up and very judgy.
Yes.
Which is why I was like, oh, this has to be someone who was a lifeguard. And they're like, everyone who goes to the beach is an idiot.
Or just, there's certain beaches that are
some days people are smart and some days people are stupid.
Yeah, like, I can actually tell you that that's a thing, that beach guards know that you get, like, more experts at some beaches and less at others. Like, in San Diego, you're going to be working a lot harder if you're working in La Jolla Shores. Because, it's not because people are stupid. It's because people are kids.
Yeah.
There's a lot more kids and tourists at La Jolla Shores than there are at, like, Ocean Beach, which is mostly surfers and locals. So it's an easier beach to work.
Yeah, when you're getting things that it's like, oh, this is the beach that people who are like, I'm from a completely landlocked state, and yeah, I don't normally have access to ocean, and I'm going to go to the beach because that's great.
Yeah, like one of my summers, I worked at La Jolla Shores, and the number one thing that you would be like, oh, I'm going to have to watch that family. Like the biggest dead giveaway was them throwing away the plastic that their boogie boards came in. If you see them out there ripping plastic off a boogie board, you're like, those guys are going to need help. I'm gonna be in the water today because of those guys.
Yeah, and I feel like obviously it wouldn't get made again today, but if this was made today, you might turn that into like the tourism stat?
Yes, exactly. Tourism / local age. But instead they decided to go kind of mean and call it the local average beach going intelligence rate, and you calculate it by straight up just rolling 3d6.
It is a wild thing to have in there, and the fact that it's like, oh, yeah, if it's lower, it's harder to do charisma checks because they're belligerent.
Yeah, they're belligerent and dumb, and they're more likely to get in trouble.
You also just get an increase to your chance of someone needing help.
Yes.
You're like, great, cool, love that.
I just like the idea of rolling up that you are like a lifeguard at Genius Beach.
You'd go to the beach, yeah, and you'd be like, oh, I rolled 3 sixes. Great, everyone here fucking rules. I'm at fucking Mensa Beach right now.
Yeah, you got
now.
An 18. You're like a computer beach party beach. Everyone's just like, yeah, I will not go in the water because there's an increased risk of sharks. Instead, I will sit here and work on my portfolio.
It's like that thing when you're like, oh, that math nerd is playing pool, and they're able to do it because it's all geometry.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they're like, oh, it's a bunch of physics nerds, and they know how to deal with the wave movement. And you're like, all right, sure.
I've added 35 additional skegs to this surfboard, and as you'll see, it'll enable me to fly through time. Welcome to Genius Beach. Dude, Genius Beach is my new idea for an 80s boob comedy, and I'm excited about it.
Oh, yeah. And of course, the other direction is you get Surf Dracula, so...
What, is he stupid?
Yeah. Surf Dracula's an idiot.
He's got a really high wisdom score, though.
Yeah. He's great at surfing.
Uh-huh.
Kind of dumb.
But he surfs in every fucking episode.
This is the early 2000s. This is before streaming. Surf Dracula is out there surfing from go. Opening shot, Dracula surfs.
Yeah. His stats are pretty interesting if you go back through the bestiary and you find Surf Dracula. Yeah. And that is largely most of it. There's an adventure. It's a code X where someone goes missing at the beach.
Yeah.
And there's some...
I mean, it's good because it's like, oh, here's the places where you can have the spotter do their thing. And
yes,
a caregiver can talk to a family.
Yeah. And then because you have to close the beach, you've got like, oh, there's going to be angry people who are like, well, I drove all the way here from wherever. It's Malibu. So they're like, I drove all the way here from Arizona and I demand to be allowed onto that beach.
Yeah.
And you can be like, no, I'm going to be the soldier and my job is to keep you the fuck off this beach while we do the thing.
Yeah.
So there's a little something for everybody.
Yeah, it's got a couple points where it's like a fight may break out here,
yeah,
and you'll need to be ready to handle that. And you're like, all right,
here's the stats for some belligerent out of townies.
Yeah, great.
You can tell them because of their bad tans.
You got some bad tan.
so yeah, that's pretty much it. It's
there
a,
you go.
It's a wild little game. I just love that there's stuff like this out there and that we keep finding them. I don't know what we're going to run into next. Like, we did Testament, but how about if we had one that was about working in the modern religious system?
Huh.
If you're like, oh, it's priest the game, and it's like you have to go through your ordination.
The game.
Yeah. No, it's priest. It's Catholic. You have to go through, like, ordination and everything and become a priest working in a diocese.
Okay.
Is that a sloppy C? Is it diet cheese?
No, it's diocese.
Okay, I got it right. All right.
Uh-huh.
I just like the idea of calling it diet cheese.
It's diet cheese.
Yeah. Diocese. Anyway, we got to get into your favorites and least favorites.
Sure, let's do it.
What's your favorite thing about Tower 22, the lifeguard role-playing game?
Oh, Lord God Almighty. I mean, I guess the fact that it's got, like, the... Okay. It knows what it kind of wants to be and is doing that.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that in the game. If the game is like, I want to try and recreate, like, lifeguard shit, even if it's, like, the fantasy of lifeguard stuff where stuff is happening every day.
Yeah.
Like, okay, sure. You're, that's what you want to do. You've done it outside of some very stupid things. But, like, the whole focus on hyper-realism, whatever, I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
You've at least... You had a concept in mind, and you committed to the bit.
I'm impressed by that kind of thing. That is true.
What is your favorite thing?
I liked that they did go out of their way to utilize some of the tools from D&D that often get left by the wayside when you're converting them to a modern system.
Uh-huh.
So you've got, there's a heal mechanic that you can accelerate your healing if you go out partying with the other lifeguards, or going on a date will increase the amount of hit points you receive. For like a going out or for a night's rest.
Uh-huh.
So that's kind of neat, because otherwise this game does not have a healing tool to it. There's no magic system.
I mean, the medic out there is like, oh yeah, you
aid.
Can stabilize people and you can like give them a couple hit points, but you can't be like, and I use healing word.
Yeah, there's a trauma patch kit feat that can restore D4 hit points like once a day or something, but that's about it. So it's nice that they have like the increased resting functionalities. And by the same token, the fact that it still has all three of the reflex and fortitude and will defenses and no magic. So they had to come up with new ways to use them. So, you know, animal attacks often inflict fort saves. Like if you're getting stung by a jellyfish, it's a fort save to like remain swimming and on your feet. But probably my favorite is the reflex save you get from the beach bully, which has like a 10-foot cone-based sandcastle kick attack where they will blind you if you fail a reflex save.
Which... Great.
It's great. It's in thematics. It utilizes one of the stats in this game that otherwise probably would have gotten left by the wayside. And it's, you know, it's a smart way to get both of those things accomplished. So that's probably my favorite thing. There's more like that in the bestiary.
Yeah.
There's even stuff that inflicts will saves. Stuff like people who are like lying to you to try and stay on the beach and so on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of, or seductresses. You got that?
Someone that's trying to talk to you and get you to not look out on the water.
Yeah. Because they're trying to smuggle something in on an illegal diamond boat.
I mean, that or they're just talking to you and making you get a penalty just to your search and spot checks.
Yeah, they're just sitting there like, ooh, a sexy lifeguard. You know, we need someone to judge our bikini volleyball competition. Why is it judged?
I need some SPF put on me. If only there were a strong lifeguard around to slather me up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you have to be like, no, must resist with will. The water is my mistress.
The ocean is my wife and I hate her. I'm a boomer.
What's your least favorite thing?
My least favorite thing, I feel like it almost has to be the amount of shit that is the animal stuff. I do love that there are like 10 different sharks in here.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels weird.
Yeah, like I said, the fact that it gives you like the stats for an orca, and then like it's just presented without comment. It's just like,
no,
bestiary.
It's just
orca,
in the bestiary.
And you're like, why would you put that in there if it wasn't so that I could beat up an orca?
No, it's like when you're reading through a book and they have stats for the deities in your setting, and you're like, you should not give a god stats unless you want me to punch that god.
Yeah. Like,
and in the same token, I'm like, you should not give an orca stats unless you want me to punch that orca.
Right. Like, I mean, the only reason I can see to otherwise, you just go like orcas. Sometimes they're found off the shoreline. They're usually not harmful.
Yeah.
You can pretty much ignore them. Here's some stats on what they on how they might panic
people. But it's
people.
D&D, so you have to tell me how many hit points they have.
Yeah.
So now I'm looking at my sheet going, well. Well, I gotta punch that orca.
Especially when they have stats for some like just big fish that you might like. They have a oceanic sunfish in there, which is like 100% harmless.
Yeah.
It's just got a lot of hit points. And whale shark is the last one of the sharks in there. And you're like, those are filter feeders. They're not even dangerous. But they're huge and they have a lot of hit points. I guess you just want to be a
big,
you know,
sack of meat.
If I wanted to get out there and just punch the gills of a giant shark.
Yeah, as much as we have gone over so many games and the whole like, you want to match a system to the thematics that you are doing so that the mechanics will help reinforce the idea that you are trying to do. And putting a game about rescuing people in D&D means your mechanics and your theme are so at odds, because you're like, what's the theme of this? I want to help people. What are the mechanics? Beating the shit out of stuff.
Right. I'm actually more or less going to agree with you here for least favorite thing and say, like, I wish this had committed to the gonzo bit that it's close to, you know, where it's like,
oh, if this had been Shark Puncher the game, I would have fucking loved that.
If this was a little Baywatch-ier, like every once in a while, you got to get out there and punch diamond smugglers or someone's hosting a bikini competition, but unfortunately a murder has been committed. Then
the murderer is in this very competition.
The murderer is in this very bikini.
Oh, it's you. You're in this very bikini.
There's like eight people in the bikini. It's
a very big bikini.
It was huge, and I learned how to stuff that wild bikini. But if it had just taken that little extra step and been like, there's a reason there's all these combat mechanics and stats for how much damage every life. There's stats for hitting people with a megaphone in this.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to do that, then fucking give it a cone attack based on yelling through it.
Yeah.
And make it so that, you have to constantly get in lifeguard fights.
Give it a fort save and be like, ooh, you can apply the deafen condition, but it's just so boring.
Yeah. Make it more interesting. Make it exciting and have it be like, you constantly end up in lifeguard fights and it's not even about the rescues.
Yeah.
Unless you get out there and it's, surprise, I'm not actually in need of rescue. It's an ambush.
Oh, this swimmer was in league with the sharks.
Yeah, so I wish it had just been a little more gonzo.
Like I said, if it was Shark Puncher the game, I agree. That would be great.
Yeah. So would you play this?
I mean, it's D&D, so no. I'm not going to play a shovelware game.
What about, would you incorporate this into your regular D&D game?
Obviously, I would. Yeah. Clearly, I'm going to make a 5th edition version of the soldier.
I'm just like, okay, we're going to play 3.x D&D. Would you like to add in the bonus feats like CPR kit or AED usage and bring all that into D&D and be like, I'm playing as a spotter. I have I have skills and I can see things at a distance.
And I've got the wizard base attack progression and no spells. Oh, well, good.
Welcome to the party, I guess. What do your elf eyes see? Oh, sorry, I'm actually from the swim team.
What do your swim team eyes see?
Chlorine.
They see chlorine. It's over there.
It's in a big bucket. I don't necessarily think I would play this. I like that it exists, though.
Yes.
I don't know if that's like a good measurement tool for us to be like, we always do the would you play this, but are you happy that this exists?
I'm so happy.
Yeah, the new question to ask. So there you have it. Try and find your own copy of Tower 22 if you're interested in playing OGL lifeguard stuff. But if you want to hear us make lifeguard characters.
Yeah, if you want us to build dudes that are out there saving lives, putting their life on the line every day.
Mm-hmm. The Baywatch theme.
And there it is.
Yeah, I don't remember how it goes. I haven't watched a Baywatch episode in some time.
I've never seen one and never will.
Oh, you will. It's going to be a TV Mastery season, one of these.
Here's the thing. I have very much considered doing Baywatch Nights as a TV Mastery season.
It's a good choice.
And it very well may happen.
Yeah, Baywatch Nights would be the way to go, especially because much like what we're doing right now with WMAC Masters, the two seasons could not be more different.
Yeah.
They full-on retooled it to try and win over a new audience. But otherwise, head over to patreon.com/systemmastery. If you support us at even the lowest level of $2 a month, then you unlock the bonus content for this show where we'll make characters in the game we just reviewed, as well as all the bonus content of that type dating back 10 years.
Yep.
You're going to get so much content.
Versions of the shows.
Yeah. You get ad-free versions of all of our main feed shows. So it's all on one RSS feed. It's super convenient.
Yep.
So that's a great way to go to get a lot of our shows to be listened to right away. That's patreon.com/systemmastery. As always, if you can't support us, we understand. Just leave us a nice rating and reviewing on your podcast app of choice.
Yep. Whatever you're listening to it on, give it a rate, give it a review. Mm-hmm. It helps people find us.
Yeah. So otherwise, I hope you enjoyed the episode. We'll see you over in the bonus content. And I want to thank you all for listening. You have a good one. Oh, and, in case it wasn't obvious, April Fools, this is not real. None of this is real. The game's not real. We're fake. None of this ever happened.
This show has been fake for the past 10 years.
Our writers made all this up.
You've got to let us go.
Yeah.